Good morning. Coming up on 7:45 here on the Mighty 690, and we have joining us for a legislative update, Dr. Ron Bryce here in studio. Good morning, sir. How's it going?
Good morning. It's great to be here in Southeast Kansas.
Absolutely. So happy to have you along here. And of course, if folks do have questions for you, they want to comment here, we can try to take those as time permits, 620-251-6909. But first of all, want to remind folks, I know you've been putting the word out that you have that town hall coming up here next week. Tell us a little bit about that.
Right. There's a legislative town hall. It's going to, you get two for one that night. It's Tuesday at 5:30. It'll be me and it will be Senator Virgil Peck. Everyone's invited. We're going to have some refreshments. It's sponsored by the Chamber of Commerce in Coffeyville, and it will be held at the Reawakening Building on West 9th downtown. And there's a lot of, I love this time of year, not only the town hall, but we have the Cherry Blossom Festival in Cherryvale. I think it starts tonight.
They did a few events yesterday, but it's really tonight, those big events, parades. And I mean, it's going to be great tonight and tomorrow.
I hope to be there. I guess those kind of events draw the politicians to kind of meet with the public, but I hope to be there. There's a Farm and Home show I'm looking forward to, and the KGGF auction. When's that coming up?
That'll be June 6th, Saturday, June 6th.
Fantastic. Well, everyone's invited Tuesday if they can come 5:30 at the Reawakening Building. We'd love to have you have some refreshments. I've been thinking about some of the current events that have been in the news, and I've been relating that to how it relates to legislation we've done in the Kansas House and Senate. And so one thing that I wanted to bring up today is May 15th, and it happens to be Peace Officers Memorial Day. And I thought we could bring up some things that we've done related to our peace officers and how much we respect them. But today is Peace Officers Memorial Day. It's not the big Memorial Day where we recognize so many, but this is for peace officers in particular, the police, the sheriffs, the federal agents. There have been, I believe, 25,000 officers that have died in the line of duty since the inception over 100 years ago. Every day, just to give you some perspective, 800,000 Americans put on a badge. They strap on a weapon. They go out to basically keep our lives safe and defend us and enforce the law. And I think today, especially, we need to say thank you, because the cost is very real. Like I said, 25,000 police officers, peace officers have fallen. That's 25,000 families that have lost a loved one. And also, to give perspective, in just last year, or in 2024 rather, there were 86,000 police officers assaulted, and that's the highest, I believe, as a record number. In the last 5 years, there have been over 1,700 police officers shot in the line of duty. That's an amazing number, 1,700 police officers shot. That's not in a war zone. You know, we fight complete wars where there aren't 1,700 people shot on our side, but in the line of duty, serving the public, I just want to say thank you to the officers who give so much. They also, when they show up to car wrecks, they show up to crimes, rapes, murders, and that takes a toll on their soul also. And I think another sobering statistic, James, is that there are more police officers who die by their own hand from PTSD, suicide, than are actually killed in the line of duty, because it takes such a toll on them. So I think today on May 15th, it's Peace Officers Memorial Day. It's a federal law, so the American flag is flown at half-mast today. And we need to remember not only those 25,000 or so who have given their lives, but say thank you. If you see a police officer, a sheriff's deputy, a peace officer of any kind, I think today would be a good day to say how much we appreciate them. And so because of the Peace Officers Memorial Day today, I thought it might be a good idea, James, if we could go over some of the legislation. This is legislative update, but oftentimes in the legislature, we do have legislation that relates to crime, judicial system, and peace officers. And so I just wanted to let everyone know, sometimes these things get kind of shoved under the rug or they're not well known. But here's some things that we've done this year in appropriations in the legislature for police officers. There's over $5 million that we allocated for jails and correctional facility clinics to help them. Over $2 million to fully fund the food services at jails and correctional facilities. $1 million for expert witness costs, and over $3 million to modernize the police equipment. They need, you know, when I was growing up, police officers, I don't even know if they wore bulletproof vests. They had SWAT teams. I remember when I was a kid, the TV show SWAT came out, and it was cool because they had all this military type equipment, you know, and like a armored vehicle. But now that's almost a necessity for these police officers. So I was happy that we were able to modernize the police equipment. Just little things we've done. Not that it's a small amount of money, but $1 million for hearing protection for the police officers. But I think one thing that I would like to bring up as far as helping the peace officers is something we call the HERO Act or the HERO Program. It's H-E-R-O. It's something we passed this year in appropriations. It's Helping Emergency Responders Overcome, H-E-R-O. And because, like I said, because of the trauma to the psyche and the soul of a lot of these first responders and police officers, there's an interesting problem that they encounter, and there's a gap in Kansas law, or has been a gap, where the PTSD is not recognized as a workers' compensation problem for police officers. And so unless you have a physical injury, the current or the previous health care did not cover counseling and medical care for PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. And so this law, the HERO HERO law, which came into effect this year, does cover some of those first responder counseling costs, because many of them at a higher rate than the public have PTSD, depression, substance abuse, and even suicide. To give you an example, the first responders rate overall of PTSD is about 30%, and PTSD and depression rates are almost five times higher than the general public. So this legislation is a kind of a test. It's just a $1 million pilot that has the first state-funded mental health program to help first responders and police officers. And it's kind of a test. And if it works out well and we're able to show some improvements and we get some return on investment by helping these first responders and police officers, then we're going to plan to expand it. And so I was happy that we were able to have that in the legislation this year. Just one other thing that I'll bring up as far as police officers go, since this is Peace Officers Memorial Day today, is something we call the HALO Act, H-A-L-O, HALO Act. And that was passed in the House and the Senate. The governor vetoed it, but we were able to override the veto. There was a lot of opposition to it, but James, I was very, very happy to get this law passed. If you think back, I believe it was several months ago, maybe late last year, if you recall the rioting and the problems in Minnesota particularly, there were ICE agents who were, there was one lady who appeared to possibly run over an ICE agent and was shot and killed. There was another gentleman who was kicking in the ICE vehicle's taillights and had a gun, and he was shot and killed. So there were these riots and this very, very much an intimidation or a conflict against the ICE officers. Well, the HALO Act that we passed in Kansas this year, the HALO means it provides a ring, like a HALO ring. You know, a HALO is like a crown. HALO is a 25-foot barrier to where protesters cannot get within 25 feet of an officer when they are actively arresting a person, a potential criminal. I think this is very, very important, not only to protect the police officers, but as I said on those other two cases in Minnesota, these people were actually killed because of confusion, because of being in close proximity or attacking the ICE officers or police officers. So when this law in the state of Kansas says that the sheriffs or police officers, sheriff's deputies or police officers, they can invoke this 25-foot rule. Let's say some federal agency, doesn't have to be ICE, any agency comes in, they're arresting a suspected criminal, they're serving papers to someone. They can invoke this 25-foot rule with the HALO Act, and that means everyone needs to keep within 25 feet. It's kind of subjective because nobody has a tape measure there, but the idea was they had to come up with some distance to where they could give the police officers the ability to perform their duty and be active in their duty and not be at risk, and also have the public not at risk. As you might imagine, James, you're a media person. There's been some pushback from the media because there's been some people saying that it restricts freedom of the press to not get within that 25-foot rule. I don't know if you have any.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I kind of see a little bit of a problem with that, because if I'm just trying to talk with a public information officer or something like that, you could inadvertently not even know what's going on and get in trouble with that. So I do see some issues.
Right, there are potential issues. We tried to address this. This bill went through the Federal and State Affairs Committee, which I'm happy to serve on, and we heard from not only the sheriff's officers and police officers, but we heard from people who were protesting Immigration and Customs Enforcement, ICE, and the main concern was that a reporter would have to stay 25 feet away to film. There is this law does we tried to craft it to where it would not restrict the media. In other words, if you inadvertently or within 25 feet,
sure,
it has to be, you have to have intent and so forth.
But I mean, obviously, I'd be able to get a picture, but I can't get a soundbite at 25 feet. So
yeah, you need a better microphone.
That's right. That's right. Well, hey, we are running out of time here, but real quick, I wanted to talk a little bit. This HANA virus is really in the news. Can you really briefly tell us kind of a little bit of what's going on with this? And I know that, the public health legislation has been, a big thing here, obviously, with the COVID pandemic, but kind of what's going on with all that?
Yeah, the thing with the HANA virus, I think a lot of people have heard about it, but it's a cruise ship that picked up this virus in South America. A few people have died. There are actually three people in the state of Kansas who are under quarantine and being watched by KU Medical Center to see if they develop symptoms. I don't think any of them have tested positive yet. But because of the COVID pandemic a few years ago, the whole landscape for public health has changed. We passed several laws that restricted the ability of public health officials, most of it is restrictions, restricted their ability to mandate that police officers enforce their rules. We restricted their ability to enforce masking. We restricted their ability to prevent people from going to church and gatherings. I think at one point people were even prohibited from singing because they thought singing would spread the COVID virus more easily. And so we passed several laws. The pendulum swung from giving authority to the KDHE, Kansas Department of Health and Environment, and the local public health, to having individual liberty preserved. And I think, honestly, during the COVID pandemic, a lot of the public health officials overstepped the boundaries, and there was a lot of manipulation and claim that science was being invoked when, in fact, there was no scientific evidence for much of it. I think we saw that this week. There was a whistleblower hearing in the U.S. Senate committee Senator Rand Paul had, if you might have seen that on TV. But a lot of the things, like we were prevented from meeting, where there was really no scientific data to establish this. For instance, social distancing, you might remember that. There was a 6-foot rule. And, you know, we kind of looked into, well, where does this 6-foot rule come with social distancing? You might have gone to a public place or a grocery store, and you see on the floor there's a circle every 6 feet where you have to go stand in your circle and wait to be served. Well, that comes back from almost 100 years ago, when people decided that tuberculosis could be spread less easily if people remained 6 feet apart. There's no scientific evidence for that. There was no scientific evidence that surgical masks worn by the general public really prevent spread. There's no evidence that the COVID vaccine actually does what initially was said to do, which was to prevent COVID. It does mute the symptoms, but it doesn't really prohibit the spread or inhibit the spread of the virus. And so a lot of these things that came out as being scientific doctrine and orthodoxy later became obvious that they were people's opinions that were just masked as science. And so a lot of these laws that we have that restrict public health departments, restrict the secretary of KDHE from imposing these things on us. It's not that we can't quarantine people. It's not that we can't impose masks. But in order to do that, these people have to go through the county commission board and have the county commission agree before they impose that in the local county. And so we can still restrict the spread of contagious diseases. It's just that a lot of these almost authoritarian measures that didn't have scientific basis can kind of be pruned out of that. And so we have more, we preserve our liberties and at the same time protect people from contagious diseases.
Well, and you didn't even touch on the free speech issues there, because all of what you just said would have been canceled by YouTube during COVID. So you wouldn't have been allowed to say that.
Yeah, I hope we don't get canceled.
Yeah, no, we have the radio is the last place we can have free speech. So
all
we
right,
do
good.
Appreciate it, Dr. Ron Bryce. And of course, I hope folks can stop by the town hall that is going to be on Tuesday, this Tuesday, 5:30, Coffeyville Reawakening office there on 9th Street.
Looking forward to it. We'll see you there.
All right. And we have Fox News here on KGGF Coffeyville.